The sayings of King Lemuel contain this message, which his mother taught him. O my son, O son of my womb, O son of my vows, do not waste your strength on women, on those who ruin kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, to guzzle wine. Rulers should not crave alcohol, for if they drink, they may forget the law and not give justice to the oppressed. Alcohol is for the dying and wine for those in bitter distress. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those being crushed. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice.
Thanks, Rick. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of our moms, and we thank you for the example that they are to us. And Father, as we study the book of Proverbs, may we understand the influence that moms have and the influence that all of us have as we impart our wisdom to those that are younger than us. And Father, may what I say be of you, anything that is not, may it blow away into the wind. And Father, may we hear your voice speaking to us this day. Amen. Again, a happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. And as I've done for the last 4 or 5 years or so, I want to preach a Mother's Day sermon. And I know that for some of you, when you hear me say, well, we're going to get a Mother's Day sermon, some of you might be dreading it. Some of you might say, you know what, I'd rather just go home and do 8 loads of laundry or maybe go get a root canal than listen to the pastor talk about Mother's Day from the Bible. And I say that because some people tend to view the Mother's Day sermon like this. They say, I'm tired of getting hammered on Mother's Day with all of these impossible expectations. You know, I'd like to be the ideal perfect mom, but I'm too busy trying to raise kids and I don't have time for that. Some ladies don't like the Mother's Day sermon because you read about some mom in the Bible who's perfect, she's godly, she's the superhuman mom, she does the mom thing without any fault, and people don't like to hear that because we know we'll never be that. And there's also people that view the Mother's Day sermon this way. Lots of ladies say, hey, I'm a woman, I don't have children, and Mother's Day is kind of hard for me, it's a little awkward. And it's awkward because I'm sitting here and I feel like I don't fit in. I'm not a mom. And to women in both groups, I just want to tell you to relax today. I don't want to add to pressure. I don't want to add to pain that comes from being a mom or not being a mom. I just want to encourage all of us today about the impact that we all make on the next generation. Your children, if you're a mom, and your grandchildren, if you're a grandma, nieces, nephews, students, maybe just the neighbor kids that live next door. And today's sermon is not only for moms, but I think it fits for dads and teachers and coaches and aunts and uncles and grandparents and the neighbors. And for the men, this is not a day off with a sermon just for moms. But I want to share with all of us a lesson that wise moms and I say other influential people can teach the next generation. And the main theme of our sermon today, this is our first sermon point. Number one is, a mom who fears the Lord teaches her kids to use their strength to serve people. A mom who fears the Lord teaches her kids to use their strength to serve people. Text for today is Proverbs 31, 1 through 9. And in studying these verses, we're going to talk about the other Proverbs 31 woman. And the reason that I say we're going to talk about the other Proverbs 31 woman is that in Proverbs 31, the woman that is articulated in verses 10 through 31, that's the woman in the Bible that gets all the press. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 is a great set of verses to use when talking about a woman who is the godly mother and wife. Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 are verses that sometimes get preached a lot during Mother's Day, and it's a passage that I have found sometimes can make women feel kind of bad, because the woman described in the verses seems kind of unrealistic to some people. And today I'm kind of interested in what the other Proverbs 31 woman has to say. She's kind of forgotten about, and this is in the first 9 verses. And I want to study this because according to verse 1, the woman who is talking is a mother. We have a queen whose son is going to become king. and the king has a name. His name is Lemuel. Now, what's interesting is that biblical scholars do not have a clue who Lemuel is. They don't know what he ruled, when he ruled. Nobody knows anything about him. But his mother is the queen mother, and she has something kind of important to teach us. And how do we know the queen mother has something important to say? Well, if you've got your Bibles open, in verse 1, does your translations have the word oracle in it? My translation uses the word oracle. And the word oracle is very important. The word oracle means burden, or it means heavy word. And the word oracle is used because in verse 2, you can see that the queen really wants her son to get what she's saying. Because she says, "Listen, my son," and literally one of the ways you can translate this from the Hebrew is she's almost looking at her son and saying, "What, my son? What are you doing? What are you going to do with your life? What should you be doing, my son? You're the one that I love. I gave birth to you. I asked God for you. I want the best for you. I want you to be the best that you can be. So what should you be doing to achieve that?" And then what follows is this call to attention in verse 2, and it's a very important lesson from a wise mom. And the great thing is about this lesson is that you don't have to be a queen mother whose son is going to be a king to apply her lesson to your life situation. What's kind of interesting about these verses is that at first look, the mother's advice initially seems to be fairly predictable. In fact, there's a lot of biblical scholars, if you were to look up this passage in a Bible commentary, biblical scholars sum up her advice as this: don't chase women, don't get drunk. Now, I think that's actually pretty good advice for all of us, but that's basically, scholars say that's kind of the end of the advice. And the thing is if that's what you think this lesson is about, we've kind of missed the point. Because when you study the verses, you realize that the queen is trying to pose a question to her son, the question being, you're going to be the king, you're going to have power. How are you going to use your power when life gives you the great opportunities to do that? How can you be the best king? How can you be the best leader you can be? And verses 1 through 9, I don't know why that thing always dies in the second service. I don't think I've ever had the wireless mic go out in the first. I don't know why that is. All right. Let's see here. Yes, the queen's words in these nine verses help us to answer that question. Now, I'm guessing that for the majority of us here, our kids or our nieces or our nephews or the students that we know, any kids that exist in our realm of influence, I don't think anybody in here is going to be royalty. I know maybe Tess will marry a prince someday. Who knows? I would be honored to do that wedding, by the way. All right. But I don't think anybody in here is going to be... Sorry, Tess. Don't take me seriously. I just talk a lot. I will never use her as a sermon example again. I'm getting a stink eye, so... Sorry, I'll leave it alone. I don't know. Anyways, we don't really have a whole lot of royalty in our circle of influence, but I think that everybody in here all has young people in our lives, and those young people are going to be the next doctors. They're going to be the next teachers. We have people in here that could be the next senator, governor, president. They could be the CEO of a corporation. I know we've got kids in here, they're going to receive college scholarships. You know, Trey, I'm thinking, buddy, you got a good shot. I hear you're a pretty smart kid in school. Yeah? All right. I hear things from grandpa and grandma. I think there's a lot of kids in here that when they become adults are going to make more money than we ever dreamed of. And, you know, they may become the next president. They may be making the laws that affect our existence. And the question is, how are they going to use that power?
How are they going to use that privilege when it comes to using those opportunities? And you see, King Lemuel's mom says to him, don't use your power to serve yourself. Use your power to help others. And the queen begins addressing the issue of Lemuel using the power for himself in verse 3. I want to read verse 3 of Proverbs 31. Do not give your strength to women or your ways to that which destroys kings. In Proverbs 31:3, the concern that his mother has is that Lemuel is going to have, he's going to build a large harem. And you have to understand that at this time in history, having a large harem, that was something kings did. The more wives you had, the more women you had, that was a sign of power. I think today that's a sign of insanity. And I think that women would say that as well if we had to put up with more than one husband. But you see, the problem is, and Lemuel's mother is telling him, the harem is a distortion of what real power is. The queen is telling her son that many wives might look powerful to the outside world, but it creates a lot of problems that actually end up taking away your power. Because many wives create expenses for the king. Many wives create a lot of stress. And the thing that was supposed to be this big show of power, a large harem, was really something that's going to drain you financially, it's going to drain you emotionally, it's going to drain you spiritually. And then in verses 4 through 7, the queen mother gets concerned about the abuse of alcohol. Let me read 4 through 7. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to desire strong drink. For they will drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of all that is affected. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to him whose life is bitter. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his trouble no more. Now, contrary to popular opinion, the Bible is not anti-alcohol. The Bible talks in many places about wine being a source of joy. What the Bible is always against is the misuse of alcohol. You're not supposed to get drunk. And there's lots of different passages. I'm not going to name them, but there's many in the Bible that talk about the misuse of alcohol than you do the wonder of it. And they all talk about how drunkenness is bad, and it's something that God's people really want to avoid. Now, the queen brings up these two issues because having the large harem and abusing alcohol were the two most common ways that kings misused their power at this time in history. And in both of these things, the pattern of behavior is always self-destructive. Verse 3 says that kings who give their strength to women are probably going to get destroyed. I think that King David, who ruined his career because of an adulterous relationship, is a great example of that. You also have his son, King Solomon, who ruined his career because of all of the wives that he acquired, wives that led him astray and led him away from God and into pagan religions. Then when we get to verse 5, it says that those who cope with the pressures of being the king, if we cope with it by drinking, you're going to forget what you've decreed. Worst case scenario, drinking could get a king killed. There's examples of that all over the Bible. One of my personal favorites is in 1 Kings chapter 16. We read about Eliah, who was the king of Israel. He got drunk with a guy named Zimri, one of his officials, and they assassinated him. I'm sure that we've all heard of the acronym for MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving. And I think that Lemuel's mother was the founder of Mothers Against Drunk Ruling. And then to dramatize her point against the abuse of alcohol, the queen mother says this in verses 6 and 7. She says, give beer to those who are perishing, wine to those who are in anguish. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Now, please understand that the queen mother is not recommending a free beer for the poor program. You know, they're poor, just give them something to get loaded and they won't care about being poor anymore. That's not what she's saying. Lemuel's mom is not encouraging people to get drunk. But if that's not what she's saying, well, then what is she saying? What we actually have in these verses, and this is one of the few places that you're ever going to find this in the Bible, we have an example here of sarcasm. How many people like sarcasm? How many people in here are sarcastic? Yeah, there's certain people you better raise your hand. I'll point you out. We got one right up front wearing a very cool Johnny Cash t-shirt. So, but see, the queen is using sarcasm to wake up her son to the duties that are going along with his class and his status as a king. You know, she's looking at him and saying, you know, don't be a moron. Don't be a drunkard who's wallowing in your failure. Don't be a drunkard because, you know, as the king, you can be one. The mom's saying, don't use your power to serve yourself. Don't use your power to just be lazy and to check out on life. You know, my son, wake up, shape up, man up, do what God has called you to do. She's kind of putting on some tough mother love right there. And then in verses 8 and 9, she's kind of ready to state in a positive way the lesson that's driving her words to her son, because she says, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And I share this with us because a mom who fears the Lord is going to teach her kids to use their strength to serve people in need. A mom who fears the Lord is going to teach her kids to use their strength to serve people in need. It is a sin to take advantage of other people. It's a sin to exploit people. Using your resources of money or your power to hurt other people, to just fulfill your own needs, that's wrong. We want to serve those in need. We want to help those in need. On his way to work one day in 1999, there was a Chicago insurance broker by the name of Bob Musikowski. That's Bob up there on the screen. He's standing next to Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel, one of Obama's guys before he became the mayor of Chicago. And he saw this derelict ball field. It was full of trash. It was in this gang-infested neighborhood. And he said, you know, the kids around here, they could probably use a real little league to play in. And the story is told in a book. The book's also on the screen. It's called Safe at Home. And Bob Musikowski teamed up with a friend to create the Near North Little League. Now, getting this Little League started was very difficult. He says the early practice sessions have been remembered as being very wild. They were wild because at first the coaches were dealing with around 250 boys. Had a lot of enthusiasm, they had no stability at home, and they did not understand baseball at all. They had no fundamentals. But over time, there were teams, there were games. Each game began with a prayer. Cursing was strictly forbidden. These coaches tried to be father figures to these boys. And Bob says this, "While I had no illusions that we'd change the world, I had no doubt that God wanted me to play baseball with these kids. My faith had taught me that being a Christian means truly believing what Jesus said about loving my neighbor. My mother always tried to teach me the importance of loving others and treating other people how you would like to be treated." The next year in 2000, they doubled. They had about 400 kids join the league. And then today in 2017, they are projecting, based on previous year's statistics, that they're going to have between 900 to 1,000 kids, with the vast majority of these kids not having a father. And they'll have them on over 100-plus Little League teams. That's just in the city of Chicago. They're going to try to teach them self-respect, teamwork, community values. And a lot of people wonder why this wealthy businessman chooses to live among the poor, because Bob has since moved into the project, so to speak. He coaches poor people's kids. And Bob Musikowski says, Jesus didn't say, when you've paid someone to do it, you've done it to the least of these. Jesus says, when you have done it, you've done it to the least of these. It's a great story, and it's a story that I think illustrates what Proverbs 31, 1 through 9 is calling moms and other influential people to do, to be that difference in a kid's life. Now, when I read the words of King Lemuel's mom, another person that I think about is Lillian Carter, the mother of former U.S. President Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter's father was a very successful farmer. He said, my dad taught me a lot about hard work. And his mother, Lillian, was a nurse. And he said that his mother taught him compassion for the poor and the marginalized. They grew up in Plains, Georgia, and when Jimmy Carter was growing up, racial segregation was still happening. Lillian Carter, they said that she lived her life, that she paid no attention to segregation laws. In her mind, everybody's the same, we're all people. She would nurse neighbors who were black, some people that worked for them that were black, never asked for any money, just went and gave them help, gave them her time. And I think this is one of the reasons why Jimmy Carter's Habitat for Humanity has had the success that it's had, because Jimmy Carter said, I had a mother, Baptist mom, who feared the Lord. And that mother taught her son to use his strength to serve people in need, and she showed him with the life that she led. So that's our first point. Our next point that we want to teach our young people, number two, is the importance of living like King Jesus. Living like King Jesus. When I read the words of Lemuel's mom, I can't help but think about the greatest king that ever lived, a king whose kingdom was all about meeting the needs of those that were marginalized and destitute, the widow, the orphan, the poor, and obviously I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And at the beginning of Christ's ministry, Jesus stood up in a place of worship in his hometown. He reads from the words of Isaiah, and Luke chapter 4 records those words in that event. Jesus is standing in the temple with his hometown, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery for sight for the sight of the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And when everyone looked at Jesus waiting for him to continue reading or to then, you know, do a little pontificating for the day, Jesus instead says, the words I just read, this prophecy, this has been fulfilled because you've heard it. And what Jesus is saying is, this king that Isaiah is talking about, I'm that guy. I'm that king. And Jesus was the kind of king that King Lemuel's mother wants Lemuel to be. And we know that Jesus calls everybody in his kingdom, and you're in Jesus' kingdom if Jesus is your king. Jesus calls all of us to, he says, live as I lived. We know that when Jesus was at a dinner banquet, he said to the host, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, invite the lame, invite those who are crippled, invite the blind, and you're going to be blessed. Later in the New Testament, James kind of summarizes it like this: religion that God accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I think everybody in here would agree all these things that Jesus, that have just been talked about, these are all things that we would want our children to do. But how do we teach our kids to do this? How do we, you know, be like Jesus when we're all kind of selfish sometimes, or when we're all just enamored with the idea of I'm going to use my own strength and my own resources just for myself because I earned it, it's all mine. And we're able to be like Jesus through the power of the gospel. When Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins in order to bring us into a relationship with God, you know, the scriptures teach us that Jesus, even though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor so that through his poverty we can become rich. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice so that through faith in him, Jesus could make us in turn rich by bringing us into a relationship with God. My question for us today is have you become rich through Christ? Have you placed your faith in Jesus? Have you given your life to Jesus? Is Jesus where your riches are found? And the relationship with God that he offers is this free gift of life, given to people like you, given to people like me who are, we're lost without God in our lives. And that's the wonder of the gospel. And once you've responded to the gospel and accepted Jesus, then we start to live it out. And we use that strength to serve people. We use our gifts to love people. And we don't serve and love people out of guilt, but we serve and love because we're grateful to what God has done for us. We don't serve and love people to try to earn points with God, but we serve and love people because we say, God loves me, I want to love you. The love that God has given me has made me rich, and I want to give you some of that love. And I share this because moms and adults, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be super moms for our kids. We don't have to be super dads. We just have to make sure that we're teaching them what really matters. And I want to challenge all of us today to point our kids to Jesus. Point your children to the one who was rich, yet for your sake and our sake became poor. I want to challenge you to teach your children to follow Jesus' example and to use their strength to serve and love others. And our kids are going to learn that example first and foremost by watching us. And many times the kids that are watching us aren't even going to be our own kids. We have a lot of wonderful little people running around here today. And I'm amazed just in talking with moms and dads sometimes how they notice and remember things Pastor Paul does. And how they notice and remember things some of the people that they pick out in the church, what they say and do. We have examples around us all the time, and we want to be the best example that we can be. Because we're all, to a certain extent, queen mothers. And kids are saying, what do? And we can show them the way. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of motherhood. We thank you for the gift of parenthood. We thank you for the gift of influence. And we thank you for the gift of our kids. And Father, just right now, I know Brian and Nicole, they got a herd down there. And I know that those kids are excited because they're going to be doing something, probably something they can give to their moms or give to their parents. And they can show off their craft skills or something in some way. They've learned about Jesus. And Father, we as adults, they're watching us. We would ask, Father, that we would be the perfect influence to those kids. And Father, help us to realize that even though we may not be parents ourselves, that there are kids somewhere watching us. We're that awesome or fun auntie or uncle. We're the neighbor person. We're the coach. We're the person that comes to watch somebody else, and then those other kids on the team, they're watching us too. And Father, help us to lead by example. And help us to lead like Jesus. Help us to be a people that serve and love. And we do it not because of anger or guilt, but because we truly love God and we love those people. And Father, as those kids see us, as they grow into adulthood, let them be able to look at our lives and say, yes, that person showed me what it means to be a grown-up, to be a productive member of society. And Father, it may be only minutes at a time, maybe even one day a week at the church. But Father, let us do something that impacts those kids. And with you in our lives, you will do that. And Father, I know as I was preparing for today, my mind went back to all of the people that influenced me as a kid. And some people, Father, have no idea the impact they made just by living their lives. And Father, let us realize we're doing the same thing. We've kind of become those old people that we looked up to or those grown-ups. And Father, use us to make an impact for your kingdom. Use us to help the next generation. Because those kids are going to lead. They're going to serve. They're going to take care of us. They're going to have lives that we're going to want to be a part of. And Father, let us be the power. Let us be that positive impact and that influence. Keep them going day by day and to be the example that they are for their generation. We thank you for this gift. We thank you for calling us to it. We thank you for empowering us to do it. Amen. Would you please stand and join with me in our closing prayer, which should be on the screen.